Hello and welcome to the Expanded Fandomverse Podcast, the only Star Wars podcast about you, the Star Wars fan. Hi, my name is Tim McMahon. I am your host. What's this show all about, you ask? Well, it's yet another Star Wars podcast, one of a million out there, but this one's different. Like I said, this is the only Star Wars podcast about you, the Star Wars fan. Basically, what I do each week is I find a complete stranger, and we sit down and we talk about our mutual love of Star Wars for an hour. At the end of the hour, we're not strangers anymore. I do this show for the fun of it. It's a lot of fun, and I hope you have fun listening. This is the fifth episode of the show, but before we begin, I just want to stop and say thank you. There was no episode last week. We suffered a loss in the family, and I received some kind words from complete strangers. Condolences. You know, this is why I like Star Wars. The community of fans is great. People I've never met, you know, sent me messages, you know. And I'm not going to say much more than that, but I just want to say thank you to everyone who sent me an email or some other kind of communication. And yeah, thank you. It meant a lot. So anyway, let's enough of that. Let's jump right into this week's episode. My guest this week is Daniel East. Daniel is my first guest from outside the U.S. Daniel resides in the U.K., and we talk a little bit about that at the end of the interview. Normally what I do when I find someone I want to be on the show, I do a bit of research. I read what they've posted on Facebook. If they have websites, I check that out, YouTube, whatnot. This week, I didn't have the chance to do that. I sent Daniel an invitation to be on the show. He kindly replied, thank you, but no thanks. I just don't have the time this week. I can't do it. It was okay. Not a problem. But then he comes back to me a day later and says, you know what? I have some free time right now. If you want to do this, let's do it. I'm like, great. Let's do it. So we just jump right into it. And I didn't do my research. I had seen Daniel online, which is why I sent him the invitation to be on the show. He posts these videos on YouTube that are great. He does action figure reviews. There's a lot of action figure reviews out there. Most of them are really dull, no personality. Daniel's, however, are a lot of fun, a lot of personality, a lot of humor, characters. You got to see it to understand it. I will post some of my favorites on the expandedfandomverse.com. Anyway, let's just jump right into it. Since I jumped right into it with Daniel, here he is, Daniel East, my guest for episode 5 of the Expanded Fandomverse.
I am wondering, why are you here?
Thank you for coming on the show.
Not a problem. Thank you for inviting me, really.
Anyway, basically the concept of the show is I just find a complete stranger online who I can tell has a love of Star Wars, which is obvious.
It's a good concept.
And then I just sit down and talk to him for a half hour, 45 minutes, and see what happens, and then stick it out there just for the fun of it.
That's cool. I like that concept.
Thanks.
It's very different.
I have to admit, we've just jumped into this sort of at the last second. When I first contacted you, at first you were like, no, I can't do this weekend.
Yeah, mate. I'm one of these people, I'm so unorganized, and I think I'm going to be doing something that I'm not, and it's, yeah.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Partly it's because I'm lazy. I mean, I've just been at work, and I'm like, oh, can I be asked to do this? And then I thought, balls to it. I feel like talking some Star Wars and other stuff like that. So,
well, yeah. I'm saying this for the show so that I can apologize to you. Normally what I do when I have a guest coming on the show is I do a little research. I'll sit down and I'll watch their, you know, if they have videos, I'll watch those, or I'll read their website or go through their Facebook feed. And I haven't done that with you. I've seen like 5 of your videos, which oddly enough, I saw a long time ago. You're not someone brand new to me that just stumbled upon you on Facebook.
Really? Yeah. Well, that's quite cool, actually. I mean, I thought my videos were cack. I'm quite surprised people actually watch them. So, yeah, that's cool. I mean,
So forgive me if I ask a lot of stupid questions, which the answers may already be online.
And... Ask away. I'm cool with it because I can. I'm used to saying the same thing over and over again.
And,
it's all good. It's all good.
If anyone's actually listened to this show, all four episodes previously, they'll see that I repeat the same things over and over. So don't worry, you're in the same boat as me.
It's all right. It's always good to repeat yourself because it, like, I know it's just good. I think it's just good to repeat yourself because then it sort of drills in some facts to some people. I mean, I know sometimes when I used to do reviews and, you know, you say something and people are like, they say something that you already said in the video. And it's, I've had this conversation with the Darth Prime and some other YouTubers, and it's like, yeah, it's come back to me. They've had the same thing where they've posted the video and they've said something. I'm repeating myself right now, but whatever. yeah, they say the same thing. Well, they say something in the video, then they say something completely different to what they've said. And like, for example, oh, I recommend this. No. That's a terrible example. You know, I don't recommend this figure, and then someone pops up in the comments like, yeah, I'm going to buy this figure because it looks great. But yeah, I just wouldn't recommend it.
Well, let me start with your videos because that's where I've seen you before. You do what the ones I've seen anyway are reviews of action figures. The ones I've seen have been Star Wars action figures. Do you do other figures besides Star Wars? Or is Star Wars your main thing?
Star Wars is my main core thing, but I do quite often move away from that. I mean, my first videos were actually on Indiana Jones action figures, and that was really the starting point for me because I'd just got into the whole Indiana Jones fandom sort of thing, and I picked up all these figures on cheap, and I just thought I'd review them because I'd seen all these other people do reviews, and I didn't think I'd... you know, get views off them. I didn't, to be honest. I got barely... I didn't get many, you know, views. I got a couple of people who just watched, probably because they enjoyed seeing how bad they were. But I think my videos have kind of improved over the years, but I've kept the sort of cackness in them. You've got to have a bit of cack in your life, in my opinion. Right. And I guess my videos are kind of like that, so...
Now... What attracted me to your videos is I'm not an action figure collector. I wish I was, but I know my own personality. I know that I would bankrupt my family if it was a hobby I jumped into.
It's a very, very cost-consuming... Is that even a word? But, you know, it's pricey. It's ridiculously pricey, some of the stuff that's out there, and some of the stuff... Yeah, you do have to control yourself, and it is very hard to.
I don't have that control, so I haven't jumped into the hobby. Yeah. So what I do is I watch videos like yours, and I live vicariously through other collectors.
And, to be honest, it's not a bad way of doing it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you can just watch someone's videos, and it's like they talk about it enough so you know pretty much the basics of what it is. And you're like, yeah, I know what that is now. I can look at the other thing. It's almost like... in your mind, you've got that collection with you. You can someone mentioned an action figure to you. It's like, oh yeah, that guy reviewed it. He said it was all right. Yeah, you can kind of interject with that. You don't actually have to have the problem with having all these figures and like the concern of if you're gonna move or whatever and how you're gonna store them or pack them when you're moving or, you know, you don't have that problem where you think in your head, have I got too much at this point?
It's never too much, right?
There is a point where there is too much, but you just say in your mind, no, there isn't. I've got a tiny bit of room up there or over there, and you know you can just fit something there, but it isn't. It's to some extent for some people it is hoarding. It's not bad hoarding though, because you can quite easily sell it. Because it is a you know it's a profitable market, action figures and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can just look on eBay and the scalpers. I mean, they make profit. Ridiculous amounts of profit off of, you know, going into a store and buying a rare action figure and popping it on eBay for 40 quid, and someone like me will buy it, as evident with the Black Series Stormtrooper recently.
Yeah, you're not the first collector I've had on the show, and since talking to other collectors, I've seen stuff in flea markets and online. I'm like, oh, I want, but I haven't done it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, what attracted me, what I really liked about your videos was the sense of humor in them. There's a lot of action figure review videos out there, but a lot of them are just boring. But you have a sense of personality. Can you tell us, for people who haven't seen your video, what you put in there? For example, I'm thinking of, well, it took me a while to figure out you didn't have a twin. Or maybe you do have a twin. Is that?
Well, this is the thing. Okay. I can't really delve into that, because if I did, I'd be, you know, bullet in the head. Done. Can't really talk about that.
Oh, okay.
So, there are a lot of strange characters in my world. Doing the
air quotes.
Yeah, air quotes. Hasbro Dan, the random guy that turned up in my shed that time, who looked exactly like me.
Yep.
He had an R2-D2 hat. I don't know why he was wearing that hat, but whatever. He must be really obsessed with Star Wars, a bit like me, but on a grander scale, on a bit more of a cuckoo scale. There are ever-growing characters that I'm finding that look exactly like me. So that's part of the humour, I guess, these people who look like me. Apart from that, I think half my humour is just I watch my videos and I think, you're an idiot for saying that, so I'll just put the volume, or, you know, I'll put the pitch up or something like that. I don't really know why. Some people have said to me, I think actually only one person has said to me, oh, I hate how you put the tone and the pitch up in your videos when you say something or whatever. And it's just like, oh, shut up, I don't care. These are my videos. I enjoy making them. I enjoy, you know, laughing at myself, because if you can't laugh at yourself or take yourself, you just can't take yourself too seriously. And I feel it's the case when you're reviewing action figures. I think if you do it so seriously like some people, I just don't feel right doing that. That's just not my style of doing things seriously. I don't think that's ever been my style. I don't like being overly professional in my videos. So it's kind of like an outlet for me to be unprofessional, I guess.
Well, your personality comes through greatly. Have you gained some sort of notoriety from the video? Have other people, you know, come to you and say, hey, be on our podcast? Or have people approached you on the street? Has it been like that?
It was really weird, actually. Once I was approached on the street, in one of the towns that are near my town, if that makes any sense. But yeah, I was out on the street because I do this photography course at college, and me and my mates were out just, you know, doing college stuff, work. And we was just out in town, and these guys came up to – well, one of these guys came up to me and said, oh, it's Daniel East 1000. I'm like, what? Yeah, that's me. He's like, oh, can I have a picture with you? And I'm like, yeah, sure, as long as you – and I just – you know, I was just like that, really socially awkward looking, and I didn't get a chance to look at the picture, but he was just saying all these – some of these videos that he'd seen, like not the actual titles, but some of the stuff I said or done. And it was really weird. It was quite surreal to me at the same time. I was kind of stood there like I didn't know what to say. But I was really quite humbled. So it was really cool that someone watches my videos and didn't think, you know, they weren't overly abusive about them. I mean, yeah. At secondary school, a lot of people found out about my videos and I just didn't care what they think.
Yeah.
I sort of played up to that fact as well.
Yeah.
I won't go into too much of that, but...
Yeah, that could be just part of the age.
Sad or... Yeah, I didn't really care what they said or did, but... Yeah, it was... Yeah, the starting point of my videos weren't that great, but hopefully they've got a tiny bit better. And seems... I wouldn't say I've got a I can't say the blooming word, but, you know, I don't think I'm notorious. I just think I've gained a lot of cool friends, a lot of cool people, such as yourself. And
that sucks. Thank you.
Really cool to meet people with the same, you know, hobby or interest as you. I mean, even if it's in different shapes or forms, even if you're not interested in collecting, it's like, even I watch people who don't even, you know, they don't really collect and they just like talking about topics. I mean, film, I mean, that's another passion of mine. So I like watching people who talk about film and, you know, stuff they own and stuff that I wish I could own. I'm kind of like you on that standpoint, because if I tried to buy some of the stuff they bought in terms of like the movie memorabilia and all that stuff, it's like, yeah, I'd need to rent out a massive warehouse to own all this stuff, and I don't think I could afford it. Wouldn't even want to think of going there. But yeah, I think it's really cool that we've got this outlet such as YouTube and Facebook and Skype and all these other internet outlets where you can meet people from all over the world. And I think it's just incredible. I think it's really cool. And it's part of the reason why I do it. I don't do it because I want to be, you know, well known or famous. I just want to be known as a fan and someone who can be approached to talk to for the most part. If you're going to treat me with mutual respect, essentially, because I'm going to give you that same thing. I don't know why I said that, but whatever.
Yeah. Very deep, very mature. I like it.
there is a slight bit of maturity about me. Then on my YouTube side, there is the loopiness and stuff like that. So, but that's just how I see things from my view. I don't consider myself famous at all or well-known. If there is someone, however, who is in a pickle, as we'll say, who's getting a lot of grief from certain people, I will stand up and, you know, say, this is bullshit. As it's happened on a couple of occasions on my channel, which you may have followed or you may have not, but we won't go into that because they're done and dusted with the help of other people in the community who, you know, listen to my video and heard other people's problems and stuff like that. So, yeah.
If I can go back to the beginning, I always like to ask people how they got into their hobby. So how did you start with the collecting, and then how did you start with the videos? What was the impetus for that?
Well, I'm trying to think how it happened now. Basically, I mean, I used to be a massive Lego collector. I used to, I collected loads of stuff. I think as a kid, I used to collect Thomas the Tank Engine trains. I don't think I've ever said this in a video. It's kind of embarrassing to say, but yeah, you know, Thomas the Tank Engine, the train, it's a very British thing. And I used to collect them, and I've probably still got them up in my loft somewhere. And that was the first kind of thing I collected up until about the age of, I was pretty old when I still collected them. It was quite, you know, as I got older, it did sort of become a little bit embarrassing for me to do that. And I did start to outgrow that. But I kind of like collected them because it was just something from my childhood that I enjoyed as a kid. And Thomas was a big part of my life. So, you know, that was the starting point for me as a collector. And then, the older I got, I sort of started to see all these other movies and stuff like that. It was more so in secondary school when I got in. I mean, I saw Star Wars, but I wasn't really much of a fan. But the older I got, the more it sort of grew on me. And in secondary, you know, Star Wars was, you know, I just enjoyed it. And I mainly liked it for the fact you had all these different weird and diverse characters. And but when I didn't really, I bought a couple of the action figures, but it wasn't too many. And really, when I came onto YouTube, it was kind of like, oh, wow, there's all this. And like when I was really introduced to the internet, because I didn't really use the internet too much when I was younger, and actually being more exposed to it, you know, the older I got, you kind of saw some of the stuff that was out there. It's like, I didn't know they existed. How come I don't own that? I need it. And you go on eBay and you're like, whoa, okay, I can't afford that. That's all my pocket money gone if I buy that. So, you know, it was really interesting when you come online, someone like me who's, you know, exposed to the internet and all this stuff that you can see and all these different reviewers. And in secondary, I just saw these people reviewing stuff and I thought, you know what, I want to have a go at this. I don't care if I get any views, I'm going to do it because it's fun. And I think if that's my main thing to say to anyone, just do it because it's fun. And, you know, in terms of reviewing on video making. And yeah, that's really where it started in terms of videos. Collecting, it sort of stemmed from a couple of things. First, it was, like I said, Thomas. Then Lego. Then I'm trying to think. I think it then jumped to, you know, Star Wars. And then it just grew to Indiana Jones and Avengers, The Hobbit. Just so much stuff that, you know, it becomes crazy the amount of stuff you do kind of collect. I mean, I don't think I collect too much, but there's enough there for me to sort of get split sometimes, like, right, which one do I go for? So Yeah, that's that.
In terms of collecting, do you consider yourself a completist? Like, is there something you see where you have to have all of them, or are you just a pick and choose your favorite kind of guy?
It's very much. I used to be very much a if I see it and I like it, I'll buy it sort of person. I didn't sort of buy everything, but recently, because of these Black Series figures, I've become more of a I want to get. Well, actually, to be honest, no, I'm not. I'm more of a pick and choose guy in terms of that. So why am I saying that? Yeah, I'm more of a pick and choose guy. But for me, the Black Series has become very tempting. And if I could afford all of them, I would get them all. But I've become very much limited with just going for the prequel trilogy characters. So because of that, I will try and get all the prequel trilogy characters. So in that sense, I kind of am, in terms of the Black Series prequel trilogy characters, I'm a completist. So yeah, I mean, in terms of 3-3-4-inch, I'm not, but the one line I've always said, actually, the one action figure line I've wanted to complete is the 30th anniversary collection, because that was really the point where I started collecting. That was the one that sort of made me open my eyes and think, wow, this is really cool. This collecting malarkey is actually really cool and addictive, because, you know, you got the coin with them and you're like, oh, damn it, I've got this coin album and it's not even full yet. And I just look at it every now and again. I look at it and it's like, damn it, why are some of the figures so hard to find? And it's, yeah, one day I will complete that. One day it will be completed and it will probably cost me a lot, but hey-ho.
The other question I like to ask collectors is, in the box or out of the box? And some of the videos viewers I've seen, you take the figures out, but looking at behind you, I know this is an audio podcast, but the video I can see, it looks like stuff unopened on your wall.
Well, for the most part, it's unopened. I've got my comic packs unopened. And it looks, you kind of look at my collection from there, and it depends on your webcam, but my webcam rather. And, you know, you look at my collection, you think, hold on, he's got some action figures carded, but they're not, because, you know, they're the comic packs. And I've only kept the packaging because I like to keep the comics safe, and it's really a way in case I do want, you know, it's another way for me to restore the figures if I do decide to, you know, pack them away again. So for my comic packs are probably some of my favorite parts of my collection, and of course the ones that I uncard. But I do have a couple of action figures that I do keep carded. I mean, I had a massive phase when I was, you know, trying to get some of the 30th anniversary collections a couple of years back. I think it was about 2 years now. And I just decided to pick up some 30th anniversary figures again to keep carded. So I got even some figures that I haven't actually even picked up yet. So I've got Biggs carded, Obi-Wan, and all these other characters. And I haven't actually got them. They're sort of like placeholders, really, until I get them again. So then I can reopen them. And it's, yeah, it's a... I'm a bit, for the most part, I'm uncarded, but in terms of the 30th anniversary collection, I'm, it depends what the character is. It depends what the character is. So, yeah, it's a tricky one to say about the 30th anniversary collection. Vintage collection as well, really. Vintage collection, thinking now that's one that I like to buy the figures carded for. If I can find them cheap enough, I'll get them again to keep carded. And, I mean, who can't not like the retro, you know, kind of style packaging that they did for some of the newer characters? I think it was really cool that they did that. And that whole line's a whole thing. That's probably one of, you know, Hasbro's best action figure lines to date. So, yeah, for the most part, I am uncarded. Just a random side thought there, people. But, yeah, I'm more so an uncarded person, but then again, it depends how rare the piece is, because I've got a Darth Revan carded, and for anyone who knows, that's quite a rare figure. And I mean, San Diego Comic-Con exclusives I tend to keep carded, but it depends again how much I want to have it open and how rare it is as well. So it's loads of factors that sort of debate or determine if I want to open something or keep it carded. So
when you open them up, you do your video reviews, and they look great on your shelf. Now, be honest, do you do anything else with them? do you play with them still?
Yeah, you can't not. You really can't not. I mean, I get up in the morning and I'm kind of like, I walk about just to check. It's really weird. It's like a religious, like, ritual thing that I do. I walk about just to check if anything's fallen over. And, you know, you do like little inspections, see if anything's fallen over or a character hasn't dropped a weapon or something like that. And you just go by memory and you kind of walk about and you think, hold on, I didn't realize I had that. And you pick it up. It's like, oh my God, this is a really cool figure. I forgot I had this. And you just start playing around with it, like putting it in different poses. For me, it's like a different pose sort of thing, opposed to actually, you know, playing like, you know, actually physically picking them up and playing like a kid. But, you know, in your mind, you're kind of like doing that. You're posing them. It's like, you know, you've got in your mind, you're doing all the sound effects, but you're not doing it out loud, because if you did it out loud, you'd probably have your parents or whoever's living with you like, what the hell are you doing? And it's like, it's kind of like an imagination thing and sends you back to your sort of childhood. And
I ask because I really enjoy the guys online who build dioramas, who like build whole sets that are in scale to the figures. So like, for example, there'll be a cantina, but filled with action figures in scale. And it's awesome.
I'd love to do that, but I'm really weird. I'm really weird as a collector because I like to put my figures in like action figure lines that they came in. So, you know, I've got my 30th anniversary collection together. It's really weird because I know some people do it by films, some people do it by I don't know if anyone else does it like me, where they put them in, you know, the actual action figure lines they came in. Then you've got people who just mix it up completely and make these dioramas, which are absolutely insane. But I think it's really down to your personal taste how you do it. And I think people who do dioramas are so creative and so good at what they do. And, I mean, I kind of sit there. And, I mean, I actually had an attempt at making a diorama, and I made that. And I was really impressed with it. But then I look at other people's online, I'm like, that's really pathetic, Dan.
Yeah, those guys are artists. They have skills that I don't have. Yeah,
I think it's one of those things that you could be good at it if you tone yourself and sort of opened your mind up to see these different objects and how you can use them. I mean, I think the best example for me to use is the Budget Jedi. I love watching his videos, and he's just like, he takes a couple of bits of cardboard or like a hamster wheel or something, he turns it into like this, you know, Rebel Alliance briefing. You're like, oh my God. And he does it in stages, and it's like, you just sit there like, what am I doing with my life? Why can't I do something as cool as this? And I mean, if you haven't seen the Budget Jedi's like dioramas and stuff like that, you need to check them out if you're into that sort of thing. So, yeah, I love how people incorporate their action figures into dioramas and stuff like that. And I mean, I wish I could, but it would take up a lot of the space where I could fit other things in. And yeah. It's you have that problem again. You have that space problem.
Yeah, we can't all be Steve Sansweet.
Exactly. I mean, pray. I'd love to just walk around his collection, his entire collection, and
you can.
I know.
Yeah, $200. Yeah, he charges.
I wish I could. I'd gladly pay to go and look around. I'd just be like, can I have that? Can I have that, please? I'm sure you've got plenty of them.
He's got doubles of everything, yeah.
Just end up trying to smuggle stuff from his house. I don't think he'd mind.
I wanna go back to something you mentioned about the Black Series. You said you're a bit of a completist when it comes to the prequel figures. Now, you're a younger man than I. I grew up original trilogy. I'm guessing you grew up prequel.
Yeah.
A lot of Star Wars debate about what's the better of the two. What's your take on that?
Okay, right. When I was younger, I mean, I believe that my tastes have improved. I did a video a while back on my channel, near to when I started YouTube, talking about Star Wars. And it was like me and my friends were talking about Star Wars. And let's just say we did get panned in the comments. We got completely panned. And I mean, I can and I can't understand why. It's a mixture of both. I mean, I was, you know, like you said, I was raised with the prequels, and they were the films that I went to see at the cinema. And except from episode one, for some reason I didn't go and see episode one at the cinema. But then again, that was probably due to the fact that I wasn't a Star Wars fan at the time. Just thinking now, we made that video and we were basically panning the prequels, absolutely slating them.
Wow.
And I think back now and I just think, Dan, you feeble-minded child that you were. Because as I've watched other films, as I've sort of, my taste sort of been more matured, and after, you know, doing, you know, a media course and all this other stuff, and actually looking at other films and, you know, thinking philosophically, if that's the right word, the prequels are better. But that's not to say that people can't enjoy the...
Hang yourself on your own rope there.
Hang myself down. I can't get my words out. No, the originals, right, write this down, people. The originals are better, but before you go into the comments and slate me for being a hypocrite, you know, the prequels, to some extent, have their merits. There are cool things in the prequels that they did, but I do feel that George Lucas could have made a better story. I think the prequels were rushed, and they were just made, for the most part, to just get them out there because the fans wanted them. I mean, I'm glad we got the prequels because it kept Star Wars alive, and I for one, am looking forward to see what Disney does with, you know, the Star Wars franchise. And I don't hate the prequels completely, but I can say that they could have been better.
Yeah.
They could have been better. And I think the best videos I've seen in terms of reviews about the prequels are Red Letter Media's videos on them.
Oh, yeah.
And you just sit there and he comes up with all these things. And that's really, that video sort of converted me to understand why people say they're bad, because it does get you thinking. If you actually don't think biasly about it, it does get you thinking, hold on, that makes sense. I mean, tons of people say, oh, but it's explained in the expanded universe canon and all this other stuff. But it's a movie. People go to see a movie to enjoy it, to, you know, have the story there. Not like a reference point. You go and watch a film and you're like, oh, hold on a second, I need to pause it right here because I need to go and look in this book to find out what happened to this character and find out what Plagueis and Sidious did together. You know, it shouldn't be like that. It should be, you give me a film, I watch it. Now, okay, it's cool to have something, you know, running, you know, like canon inside a comic to run side with the film, but you shouldn't need it. You shouldn't need it to accompany the film, if that makes any sense. So
it does. Everything you've just said, I have said before, I think on the third episode of my show. I point out that the original trilogy, everything you need to know is right there on the screen.
Exactly.
But the prequels, you need so much more.
Yeah. I mean, anything that is in the comics is just something extra that gets you thinking, oh, that's cool what that writer did. It's something, you know, it's something that kind of adds to the film a tiny bit.
Yeah.
But the prequels are pretty much completely supported by the canon, the extra canon that's in there. It's like the Clone Wars. I mean, there's that scene in episode 3 where Obi-Wan's like, oh, remember that moment, Anakin, when we were on such and such planet and you did this? And it's like, hold on, what happened there then? You told this thing and we haven't seen it? It's like, so we have to go and find what happens in that on Wikipedia or something, like a comic. It's like, that's the one thing that annoyed me about the prequels, but everything else, I think, and I think the overuse of the CGI, it kind of killed it for me. But again, like I said, the prequels did keep Star Wars alive, and it probably did it in the wrong way, but again, it kept it alive, and I'm not going to complain too much about that.
Yeah.
So
they expanded the universe that we like, and it gave us more corners to look in and more things to play with, but I always like to use the phrase, they were a missed opportunity.
Exactly. I mean, I can watch the prequels, but because of seeing reviews on them and thinking to myself, I watch them and I just think, well, it's uninteresting to watch now, because you watch them and they're like the same shots. You've got the same, you know, reverse shot. Yeah. You watch it and you're like, this is doing my head in. It genuinely, last time I watched episode 3 and I was watching it and I'm like, I was even saying to the person who was watching with it, which was my dad, who had it on the TV, and I'm like, hold on, they're going to do a reverse shot in a minute. And yeah, it happened. And yeah. I was just like, I could see what they were doing. It made it really uninteresting to me to watch. I mean, like I said, I think episode 3 is by far the best out of the prequels. But again, missed opportunity. And I think that was due to the fact that it didn't really have any structure with the other films. It didn't really have a backbone to support it. So, yeah.
I get a lot of flack from my friends when I say I like the Obi-Wan storyline from Attack of the Clones. If you cut out the Anakin and Padme stuff.
Yeah.
In a way, it's almost like a James Bond movie.
Exactly. I mean... For the moment, that's the thing. It had some really cool concepts, which were slightly spoilt by a forced-in love story plot.
Yeah.
I mean, I think what they should have redone is had Anakin, and this is just my own personal opinion, I think they should have had Anakin, someone who's quite mature in the first film, and he's taken away from that and he goes to become a Jedi. He's moved away from his family and he goes to focus on, you know, him becoming a Jedi. Kind of like, because I went to see The Raid this week, The Raid 2, that is. And that story kind of had the character, and he moves away from his family and he goes to take down these big crime bosses. And he's going all undercover. And that would have been really cool to see in a Star Wars sort of situation, have a Jedi, you know, go undercover and try and bring down the Sith. But then he ultimately sort of becomes the Sith himself. I don't know if that would have been interesting to see, but I think that would have been cool. It's like a situation they wouldn't have been able to escape from.
I like that idea.
But that would have been, I think that would have been cool to see. And again, missed opportunity. Disney, if you want to use that idea, you're more than welcome to use it. But you'll be ripping off the guy who directed The Raid 2 and The Raid. So,
yeah.
I
have a. I sort of collect in my head stories that could have been prequel stories, and I like that idea. I'm going to file that one away for future use. So let's jump to episode 7. I'm just going to leave it open ended for you. What are your thoughts, your fears, your hopes?
I think J.J. Abrams is perfectly capable of it after seeing Star Trek. I think either way, he is going to get flack. Either way, fans are going to have... Everyone has their... You know, like you said, you've got your own idea of, like, you know, stories for Star Wars. And everyone does. I mean, I've probably got stories that you'd probably think, that's terrible. And I mean, you know, everyone has, like, their own stories and their own thing. And I think there's going to be a massive mixed opinion on Star Wars Episode 7. Me, personally, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to go in with an open mind. And it's a style at the end. Merchandise thrown at me from the screen that's going to say, Dan, buy me. We need to be made for some apparent reason. And I think, like I said, J.J. Abrams, what he did with Star Trek was pretty good. It actually made me care about Star Trek. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to see what he does with it. I mean, the only thing I don't like about Disney owning Star Wars, and it's what they said... I can't remember when they said it or if it was when they actually bought the rights to Lucasfilm, was they said they were going to do a film every year, and that was kind of the killjoy for me.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
I can understand them doing it with Marvel films because, you know, you've got different generations, but I couldn't really see it with a Star Wars film. I mean, what are we going to get each year? And it was like then they revealed the Yoda movie, and I sat there and I was like, you're kidding me, you're having a laugh. Why do we need to, you know, why do characters need to have their backstories developed? I mean, in some cases it can work, but in others it just doesn't. And for me, Yoda's backstory and origin shouldn't be, you know, touched. I think that's what makes Yoda's character so special. I mean, it'd be cool to have a standalone Yoda movie, where he's off doing his own thing, but not him in the past and as a kid or whatever. I wouldn't want to see that. A Han Solo movie. Now, I like that idea because you can have a look at him in the expanded universe where he's, you know, he meets Chewbacca as an Imperial, you know, as when he's, you know, trained as Imperial crew or something like that, if I remember reading from a canon. That would be really cool to see in film, and I think that could work. Boba Fett movie. Part of me wants to say yes, part of me wants to say no. It depends where they'd set it and if it's going to be an origin story. If they do a Boba Fett movie, I hope they don't make an origin story. I hope they just do it as him doing his own jobs, just being a badass. Because that would be awesome. I think it really depends. I just hope we don't get, and I doubt we will, but it wouldn't surprise me if Disney said, oh, we're making a, you know, IG-88 movie or Bosk. And you'll have all these people like, who the fuck are these characters?
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, I doubt that'll happen. But, you know, characters like that, characters which are kind of known to fans, kind of known to non-fans, and they get movies made on. I don't want to see that. And another thing I don't want to see, really, and something, I'm moving kind of away from the films now, but the fact that Disney have kind of said, right, it seems like they're getting all the works that people have written for Star Wars and they're kind of like tossing them on a fire and just getting discarded. That's something I really don't like, because these are things that people have written. These are people that, you know, people have made up either because they're fans of Star Wars or they just want to keep the franchise alive, or they've been told by Lucas to keep the franchise alive, you know. And I kind of don't like that. I kind of don't like the fact that Disney's kind of disregarding some of the expanded universe canon. I don't see why they can't just say, hey, you know what? Why don't we have this as, you know, a Star Wars visionary story? You know how the stories where you have like, oh, what if Darth Vader became, you know, good? He actually survived and he became good, you know, where he has the white armor and stuff like that. I haven't actually read into that story, but I've heard bits of it. But, you know, I don't see why Disney just sort of treats, you know, the canon that's already been established as that. I don't see why they don't just say, you know what, this is a what-if story. I think that'll be nice to see them do and republish some of the older works so people can actually enjoy them and, you know, so I can actually get action figures of the characters that I've really wanted to see and get updates of Dash Render, for starters. But that's just really for me. I don't know about anyone else, but I don't like the fact that Disney's kind of disregarding all these other works that people have done. And it was really the same with the Clone Wars. I felt the Clone Wars was a bit of a I don't know how to put it, but it kind of like completely forgot or disregarded the Russian guy, Tartaroskov. I can't pronounce his name, but, you know, the original 2003 Clone Wars series, or mini-series, yeah. I kind of didn't like the fact that, you know, oh, we get the Clone Wars, we're getting that on Blu-ray, and then, you know, that mini-series doesn't get a release on Blu-ray, it doesn't get updated. So, you know, fans who like that could go back to it and enjoy them. Because, I mean, those mini-series episodes could kind of fit in the Clone Wars anyway. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. You know, they could.
Yeah. I don't think there was anything in there that negated what happened in the other Clone Wars or any of the other expanded universe.
Exactly. And I think it would have been nice if, you know, they'd re-release that as a Blu-ray. And part of me actually, and it sounds stupid I say this, but I think the holiday special shouldn't be forgotten, because it reminds us that there is actually something worse than Star Wars Episode 1. It reminds us that, you know, Star Wars Episode 1 wasn't the worst thing to happen to Star Wars. The holiday special was. And I think that should have been an Easter egg on the Star Wars Blu-ray. In my personal opinion, that would have made the Star Wars Blu-ray perfect and would have made me completely forget about the fact that they did all these changes.
I recently was having a discussion with a friend, and we were talking about the standalone films, you know, like the Yoda or Boba Fett or Han Solo. And I said, you know what? I'd like to see a Chewbacca film, just a silent movie where you get nothing but Wookiee growls and grunts, and it's told from his point of view. And then my friend looked at me and said, holiday special, man, it's been done.
But
and it sort of crushed me a little.
It would be really weird because it would be like a foreign film, really, because it'd have it all in subtitles. I think, to be honest, that would be really cool and weird to see.
But if you watch,
I think that would be a great... Part of me wants to see that, actually. I'd quite like that.
But I think the first 20 minutes of the holiday special is just Chewbacca's family sitting around grunting. And
you kind of sit there, it's like, what am I watching? What were they on when they made this? I mean, I think the best thing to come from that holiday special was the little animated segment. And I think everyone says that.
Yeah.
It's the first moment you see Boba Fett, and it's like, it was a fun little thing they added in, but the holiday special itself was far from fun. It was cringeworthy and tons of other things.
Yeah. Well, we've been going about 40 minutes now, so I'm going to wrap this up. I like to keep it under an hour.
That's good.
I want to thank you for being on the show. I always like to end with a non-Star Wars question. So since I didn't do my research on you, I don't have anything in mind other than to say you're the first. This is only the fifth episode, but you're my first non-U.S. guest.
That's cool. That's something new.
So where are you located in the U.K., can I ask?
Yeah, sure. I'm located in a very barren place called Lincolnshire. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but I think it is barren. In terms of collecting, at least.
If I remember my UK geography, that's on the East Coast, right?
Think so. I'm no good at geography. But yeah, we'll go with that.
I'm trying to, in my mind, I'm trying to remember on the map where that is. Do you consider yourself a northerner or not?
I don't think so. I think I'm near it. I don't know. Oh, God. There's going to be UK people just face palming at me right now.
My grandmother was from Manchester, and I spent some time there when I was in university. So that's why I know where things are. But most Americans listening won't know.
Think I'll live near London. Whenever I say, I live in the UK, do you live near London? No. No, I don't. Sorry.
Okay. Now, how far is it to London from you?
I think it's about a 2.5-hour drive. About that, I think. Maybe 3. No, I don't think it's 3. I think it's about 2.5. About that.
Now, this is one of the UK-US differences. If someone says, do you live near Boston, which I live about 2.5 hours from, I would say yes. It's all perspective.
It's quite funny you say that, because I live like 20 to 30 minutes away from Boston in the UK. So quite random you should say that. So when I say, I'm going down to Boston tomorrow, that's quite a trek for you to, the US. No, it's just down the road. It's not that far at all. No. So yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. Thanks for putting up with my my annoying questions and answering them greatly.
Not a problem. I love annoying questions. And they weren't annoying at all, which is quite disappointing.
Okay. Next time, if I have you on, I'll have you on again, and I'll get 10 annoying questions.
Get some annoying questions. Get some really obscure questions for me, especially in terms of geography. Because that'll be fun. We'll have a geography quiz.
Okay. Well, thanks again, and goodbye.
See ya.
Don't worry, R2. We're going. We're going.
So that was my conversation with Daniel East. That was a lot of fun. Daniel was having fun. That made it fun for me, and I hope it was fun for you to listen to. If you have any comments about what Daniel and I had to say, send me an email, theexpandedfandomverse@gmail.com, or leave a comment on my website, theexpandedfandomverse.com.
I'd like to get your feedback. Tell me what you think of what we had to say about the show, anything in general on Star Wars. If you really are opinionated, then I would love to have you on the show. Yes, the show is open to all comers, so send me a note. Tell me you want to be on the show, and I'll be happy to bring you on in the future. So let's see, a little bit of news. Because I skipped a week last week, I actually have been able to record 3 interviews, conversations this weekend. So Daniel was 1 of 3, and I'll put the other 2, instead of waiting each weekend, I think I'll string them out through the week. So this is Saturday today as I post this one. Maybe you'll find one on Monday and then another one on Thursday, maybe. I don't know. Keep checking back. 2 more interviews coming up. Well, that's it for this week. Thank you once again for tuning in to the Expanded Fandomverse, the only Star Wars podcast about you, the Star Wars fan. I'm Tim McMahon. I'm your host each and every week. See you next time, and may the Force be with you.